when you take the throne, they might be thrown into another ill-advised, protracted siege.
Mahmed tilted his head in surprise.
I have no desire to go against Skanderbeg. That was my father's quarrel, not mine. Not Skanderbeg.
The intelligent confusion on Mahmed's face almost made Radu smile.
Whom would I besiege? I already have an empire that needs attention, and I will need help and time learning how best to rule. I would depend on my Yanacheris to be my hands in that. That is my only plan for their future.
Kazancha Dogan made an uncommitted noise in the back of his throat.
Tell me, do you think my father has run his empire well? Mahmed smiled at the look of alarm on Kazancha Dogan's face. Come now, he is dying. It is not treason to examine what we can do better. For example, how do your men feel about their compensation?
Kazancha Dogan cleared his throat.
There have been some complaints. We shoulder a heavy burden for the Empire and see other men more richly rewarded. I agree. My first act will be to go through my finances, determine where taxes are being misused, and divert all available funds to raising Yanacheri pay. I want you to think of an amount you feel is fair, but generous. It is important to me that your soldiers and you know that no one values you or can take care of you as much as I can. Mahmed's smile dropped off, his eyes becoming as sharp as his tone. No one can offer you what I can, and if anyone tried, it would be treason.
Kazancha Dogan bowed deeper in an actual show of respect.
I look forward to serving you when you are our sultan. Your father. Yes. Our father.
Mahmed nodded.
I trust that you will keep our meeting in confidence. I am not ready to declare my presence here yet. I would like more time in privacy to mourn my father's imminent passing. Should anyone discover me, I would know who had betrayed me.
Kazancha Dogan's Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed.
Yes, my father.
Mahmed smiled, opening his arms generously.
I look forward to watching you lead. As soon as my father dies, we will agree upon the terms of pay increase, and you can announce it to your men.
Bowing again, Kazancha Dogan was escorted out by Matei.
Do you think it worked? Mahmed asked, a worry line between his brows.
Radu collapsed onto a chair, relieved of the tension his body had been holding since the Yanacheri leader had arrived.
He is no fool. He knows you can offer him more than Halil Pasha could, and he was sincere about his men being tired. He will want to avoid fighting in the streets and a protracted civil war. He has more to gain now from an alliance with you. I agree, Mahmed stood, stretching. As soon as I am secure on the throne, we will kill him.
Radu blinked in shock, but Lada simply nodded, tightening the noose.
What now? Petru asked. Now we wait for my father to die, and Elias to arrive.
Both events happened the next day. Amal brought word from the wall that Elias had arrived on force and simply marched through the gate when the guards tried to deny them entry. Mahmed watched from the tower above his father's room, the procession of white caps making a tremendous show through the streets.
Is it done? He asked.
Radu did not know what he spoke of, but Petru nodded.
Your father is dead.
Then I go to meet my people.
He turned away from the window, turban glittering with metal threads woven throughout. His clothes were deep purple, the traditional color of the Roman emperors. A heavy gold necklace, glimmering with rubies, hung from shoulder to shoulder, and a cape draped down his back. They rode out. Kazancha Dogan's Yanacheris met them, gathering more as they went until they came to the great square in the center of the city, and joined Ilias. Mahmed rode at the front, sword raised, bells pealing as news of his father's death spread. After a parade around the whole city, he returned to the palace. Halil Pasha was waiting in the throne room, murder on his face. Mahmed strode straight up to him and clasped his shoulders. Lada stood with sword drawn directly behind Mahmed. Naked fear quickly replaced the violence on Halil Pasha's face. This had been Radu's idea, the grand plan behind all their secret maneuvers. Halil Pasha, my father's most trusted advisor, the wisest man in our great empire. Mahmed turned to the crowd of nobility gathered, some still hastily adjusting their finery. Halil Pasha will serve as my grand vizier, to help guide me in ushering in a new era of peace and prosperity for the glory of the Ottomans. The crowd cheered. Halil Pasha's terror was replaced with incredulity. And then the sly, triumphant smile of a fox that had stolen another beast's prey. But the fox failed to notice Radu's hounds surrounding him, driving him exactly where they wanted him. Poor fox, Radu thought. 45. Mahmed was given the sword of his ancestor, Osman Ghazi. He held it reverently in front of him before sheathing it and girding it about his waist. He now wore the dreams of his entire country's history. Lada did not know how to feel as she watched it happen. This was not the Mahmed who had spoken so passionately about that dream when they were alone. This Mahmed was wrapped in silk and girded in armor, a turban obscuring his head, his face as sharp as steel, and as untouchable. He stood on a dais, separate from all others. There was a man whose only role, complete with royal title, was to carry around a stool for Mahmed's feet should he require it. There was a man who had stewardship over Mahmed's turbans. There was a man who stood to the left of Mahmed, ready with perfume and a fan should some noisome scent dare approach the unapproachable. Because that was what Mahmed had become. Through the endless ceremonies, the naming of viziers, the acknowledging and receiving of gifts, Mahmed stayed in the same spot and moved further and further away. Lada wondered if the poison testers would taste the seething jealousy creeping in her veins as she stood on guard and watched Mahmed's dream take root. Lada could not have anticipated that an even more odious and discomforting task than watching the endless coronation lay ahead. Mahmed, in the outer chambers of Murad's apartments, met with each of his father's wives and concubines. As per Lada's demands, there were two guards stationed at each door, and one of her own men in the room with Mahmed at all times. Today, that was her role. As woman after woman entered, starting with the lowliest, who had only recently moved from servant to full harem member, Lada was forced to acknowledge the reality of this part of the throne. Her hand constantly twitched over her sword. She was not certain what exactly she wanted to kill. A trembling concubine left, to be replaced by a woman Lada knew. Mara still wore clothes unsuited to the courts, a full, intricately embroidered dress with no veil. Her hair was pulled back and elaborately curled. There was no touch of Ottoman style in her entire ensemble. She did not bow to Mahmed, merely raised an eyebrow. Good morning. She spoke Latin instead of Turkish. He smiled, bemused. Mara Brankovic. My fame precedes me. Sweeping her skirts out, she sat on a sofa parallel to Mahmed's chair, rather than cowering in front of him. I am glad to see you well. Widowhood suits me. Lada snorted a laugh. Mara acknowledged her with a glance, smiling coldly. Mahmed cleared his throat, trying to regain Mara's attention. I am not certain what to do with you. Most of the other women were being sent to various estates, depending on their rank within the harem and whom they were related to, daughters of important families were returned, some with marriages already prearranged by Mahmed and their fathers. Radu was, even now, discussing a match with some important pasha on Mahmed's behalf. Like coins exchanged, the women passed from one hand to another. Lada's fingers tightened around her sword hilt. "I have had an offer of marriage from Constantine," Mara said. Mahmed could not hide his surprise. "Constantine? I suspect he thinks it will soften your alliance with my father and Serbia, since it was in large part due to my influence that my father stayed out of the conflict at Varna. Losing Serbia as a vassal state would be a blow to your empire and an embarrassment to your recent ascension to the throne. Europe does not expect much from you." Mahmed nodded, his face now carefully impassive. "I am surprised at his boldness and his speed, though I wonder at your wisdom in telling me." Lada did not question it. Mara had something behind this. She was too smart to let an opportunity go to waste. Mara shrugged, tilting her head. "God has freed me. I will never marry again. I have already written Constantine a refusal, which I will sign and send as soon as I am on my way home, to Serbia." Mara had no sword, but she had effectively used herself as a weapon. Mahmed could not harm her without risking his alliance with her father, and if he angered her, he risked strengthening Constantinople's chances at more allies. She would not be used in any way other than the one she chose. A sudden fierce envy seized Lada. All Mara's patience had paid off. She had written her own fate, free of the men who tried to engineer it for her. Mahmed stood and inclined his head respectfully. "I shall make the arrangements immediately. We will have you on your way in the morning, with gifts for yourself and your father, and a renewed peace treaty to deliver with my blessing." Mara stood, dipping into a graceful curtsy. Her smile for Lada this time was genuine. Then, without expressing gratitude for the escape she had crafted all on her own, she walked from the room. "I will miss her," Lada said. Mahmed laughed. "That does not surprise me. She always was the most fearsome of my father's wives." "And with fearsome wives on our minds," Lada nodded toward the door, where Huma waited, supported by a eunuch. "Concubine. Never a wife." Huma spoke with a tremble that had not been there before. Her skin was a shade of yellow that made Lada want to look away. The full body she had been so proud of before, now wasted beneath her slack robes. "Mother," Mahmed rose to help her sit, "you did not need to come." "Of course I came. You are my son, the Sultan." Lada had expected pride, even exultation, but the words sounded as though they tasted bitter on Huma's tongue. "But there is no question of your future," Mahmed said. "You will stay here, in the palace."
"It is not my future that concerns me. We need to discuss plans. We got you to the throne. Now we must ensure that you keep it."
Mahmed shook his head, taking her hands in his.
"This is not for you to worry about. I want you to concentrate on getting well."
She continued as though he had not spoken. "We can do nothing about Orhan for now. But there is the matter of little Ahmet, your half-brother. He is a threat that must be addressed." Mahmed shifted away from her.
"I will make arrangements to send him to an estate in the country, where he will be safe."
Huma coughed, the sound rattling between her shrunken breasts.
"Safe? You want to keep your closest rival for the throne safe?"
"He is an infant.
He will not always be one. Think of your father, the years he wasted fighting his own brothers. They nearly pulled the empire apart. We cannot allow the same thing to happen with you and Ahmet."
Mahmed dropped her hands and stood glowering.
"This is not a matter of we, mother. I am well aware of the perils of the future. I will keep Ahmet safe, safely away from here, safely out of the reach of any who would use him against me, safely separated from poor Halima, his mother, or anyone who would put his interests above my own. He will grow up a prisoner. Forgive me if I do not wish to dwell on it."
Huma's expression matched his in ferocity, and it struck Larda how alike they looked. There was an intensity to their faces, something about their eyes that pierced whatever they set their sights on. Then Huma collapsed into herself, giving in to her illness and exhaustion.
"At least, tell me you have a plan for Halima. Put her to good use."
Mahmed rubbed the space between his eyes. "Yes, yes. I am meeting with her soon. I think I will marry her to Ishak Pasha. I am sending him to Anatolia, to be the new Bela Bey. I want Ishak away from Halil. They are too strong together."
"Yes, that is wise. Though I still think Halil would better serve you from the top of a stake."
Huma stood, holding out an arm. The eunuch who had escorted her hurried to her side.
"And you are wrong about how to deal with the baby Ahmed. But you must do what you think is best."
"I will."
After she was gone, Mahmed sighed.
"It is hard, seeing her so weak."
"I think she has never been weak. She frightens me as much as she ever did. And she has a point." Larda's mouth curled down. She hated to agree with Huma. She even felt sorry for Halima. If Constantinople is leveraging a distant cousin against you, imagine what they could do with access to Murad's other son. Halil will try to use him.
"I will keep him away from Halil. And by the time Ahmed is old enough to be useful, we should be done with that wretched Pasha."
"Vizier," Larda corrected Mahmed, and he stuck out his tongue.
"It was Radu's idea, remember? If you had listened to me, Halil would be dead."
"I know, I know. But we have to think further ahead. We are building a foundation. Each stone must be considered. We have to dismantle the wall Halil has built before removing him. Otherwise, more stones will fill in the gap, and the wall would still be in my way."
"Radu is right about that."
"And what does wise, clever Radu think about Ahmed? Is he a stone, or a weakness that threatens the whole building?"
Mahmed did not answer. 46. The royal clerk's ink-stained fingers drummed nervously on his legs. His voice was halting and garbled, as though unused to speaking.
"You want to see the tax records?"
Mahmed's face was a mask of patience.
"Yes, I want to see accountings for the tax revenues."
Radu pitied the clerk, whose brow was beaded with sweat. He suspected the man had never before been called in front of a sultan.
"Which taxes?"
Mahmed did not smile.
"All of them."
All of them?"
"All of them.
I want to trace every coin that comes into the treasury, and every coin that leaves it. I want to see what every state and city is making, who is in charge, how they are spending my gold, and what there is to show for it. Wages, allowances, payments to foreign countries, payments made by vassal states."
"But it will be weeks before I can gather enough information for us to go through, and it would be a massive undertaking."
"Then you had better start. Now."
The man scurried from the room as though Mahmed's declaration were whipping his heels. Mahmed sighed, rubbing his forehead.
"We have lost so much time. It will take me months, years perhaps, to get everything in order. When I think of how far I could be if my father had not taken back the throne, if I had not been banished again to Amasya."
Radu tasted Mahmed's anger, and his tongue dried in his mouth. Though they had never spoken of it, Radu often wondered if Larda, too, regretted what they had done. Maybe there had been another way, a way that would have let Mahmed keep the throne the first time he inherited it. They had been scared. They had been children. And they had made a decision that impacted Mahmed's future without consulting him.
"Are you well?" Mahmed asked.
"Yes, yes. I am simply nervous. I meet with Kumal and Nazira today."
"Why would that make you nervous?"
Radu realized with a pang that although he and Mahmed were together nearly every day, they had not fallen back into their comfortable ease of telling each other everything. Radu had too many secrets he could not afford to reveal, and so he spoke as little as possible. It was easy. Mahmed always had people around him. Even now there were two guards in the room and a squat, thick-fingered man who held a stool for Mahmed's feet. Their presence did not lend itself to intimacy, which might have hurt Radu before, but now seemed a tender mercy.
Did I not tell you? Kumal wants me to marry Nazira.
Mahmed sat back as though struck.
The stool carrier jumped forward, but Mahmed waved him away. Marry her? You would leave me?
Radu felt a flutter of something. Not quite hope, but its darker, more desperate cousin. Perhaps the disbelief and hint of anger from Mahmed was jealousy.
Am I not allowed to marry? I know the Yanacheris cannot, but I am not clear on what exactly I am here.
Mahmed's face softened.
You are my friend. You are certainly not a slave. If you want to marry her, Mahmed trailed off, his eyebrows lowering as he examined Radu with an intensity that made it difficult for Radu to breathe.
I do not love her. The words tumbled from his mouth like pebbles in a stream, cold and clacking together. He did not know where they would land, but he kept talking.
I care about and for her, and Kumal has been very kind to me. I am not certain I am a good match for Nazira, though. I think she could marry higher and be better off. And my first duty, my only duty, will always be to you. No one could take me from that.
No one could take me from you. Please, Radu thought, please know what I am saying. Mahmed's eyes widened, pupils dilating almost imperceptibly. Then a smile shifted the intensity and sincerity away from his eyes.
I will leave it up to you, then. Kumal Vali is a good man. I will make him Kumal Pasha. You are free to do whatever you wish, as long as Nazira knows I require you by my side.
Radu clasped his hands together behind his back, away from Mahmed, so tightly they ached.
There is no place I would rather be.
The words caught in his throat, trying to pull more out. Radu knew if he started, he would never be able to dam the flow of honesty that would pour forth, drowning him in its wake. So he bowed and walked from the room, breath shaking and pulse pounding. Love was a plague. He was meeting Nazira and Kumal in the same garden where he had first seen Mahmed. They found Radu standing in front of the fountain, staring at ghosts, wondering. If he had not met the crying boy here, would he be able to love Nazira?
Radu!
He turned, still tangled in the past, and embraced Kumal. His friend was thinner than he had been. A lingering shade of death's touch deepened the shadows beneath his eyes and the hollows of his cheeks. But he was alive.
I am so glad to see you well.
Radu hugged him tightly before releasing him.
It is only thanks to you.
Radu turned to Nazira. She wore a sunrise pink scarf over her black hair, her soft, dark eyes turned up at the outer corners and made her look pleasantly teasing. Her lips were so full, they were nearly a circle, but she pulled them apart into a smile.
Radu.
Radu bowed. He was happy to see her, but uncertain how to act around her. Where before they had had the easy rapport of friendship, siblings even, as Radu imagined sisters who were not larder to be, now there was a chasm he did not know whether to cross or flee from. He had wished her his sister, and she apparently had wished for more.
I see an interesting shrub over there, Kumal pointed, beaming. I will go examine it for a while, I think.
Radu could not bear to sit at the fountain, so he led Nazira to a stone bench beneath a broad tree. Its branches were bare for the winter. They sat, shielded from view, Radu did not know what to say. Nazira stared straight ahead when she finally spoke.
I want to marry you.
Her directness disoriented Radu, who had become so used to the angling and meandering communication of the courts.
She
turned to him and smiled, putting her hand on top of his.
Radu, sweet Radu. When you look at me, there is no hunger in your gaze. I have spent a good deal of time observing men and the way they look at women. And you do not look at me as a man looks upon something he desires.
Fear blossomed, its dark petals spreading wide.
You are very beautiful, and...
She squeezed his hand, shaking her head.
It is not a hunger I welcome. That is why I picked you. You are kind and smart, and you are alone. And you will, I think, always have to be alone?
She formed it almost as a question, her eyes searching his for a truth he did not want them to find.
Do you remember our dance?
Radu shook his head.
At Mehmed's wedding to Siti Hatun.
Yes.
Half the women in the room watched you move, craving your attention, waiting for their turn. And you looked at none of them. I knew then. I understand. I understand what it is to look upon what you are supposed to have and feel nothing.
She waited, then whispered,
I understand.
Radu realized tears had formed in his eyes.
You do? I do. As your wife, I would expect only your friendship. Nothing more.
She looked at the ground, and a blush spread across her cheeks.
And I would request that my maid, Fatima, be allowed to accompany me always.
Fatima? Radu sat back, remembering the way Nazira's gaze always followed the maid wherever she went. The day he found them in the gardens, breathless and flushed, their hair askew from being chased by a bee. A cloud passed from the sun, bathing them in warmth and light. With it came surprising clarity. Radu smiled.
You were happy to have been stung by that bee in the garden.
You have found happiness, then. She nodded.
I have. Will you, please? Will you help me protect it? Will you let me be your friend, your true friend, who knows you and loves you?
Radu leaned his forehead against hers, closing his eyes. He could not help the welling of jealousy that filled him. Nazira had found her happiness, and miraculously, Fatima felt the same. But his bitterness was brushed away by genuine love for Nazira. If she had what he feared he never could, he would do whatever he could to help her.
Nazira, it would be my greatest honor to be your husband.
She let out a burst of laughter, mingled with a sob of relief, and threw her arms around his neck.
Thank you, sweetest Radu. Thank you.
He placed a gentle kiss on her forehead. When they rejoined Kumal, he took in Nazira's tear-streaked face with alarm before noticing their clasped hands.
Brother!
He took them both in his arms. Nazira's frame trembled as she cried and smiled, and Kumal began making wedding plans.
We can invite the Sultan, he said.
No, Radu said, too quickly and with too much force. Nazira's eyebrows raised knowingly. Radu nodded his head, a tiny movement only she would catch. She squeezed his hand, and he was surprised by how much comfort it was to be understood. This time when he spoke, Radu was careful to sound calm and unaffected.
He is burdened so heavily right now. He would feel guilty for being unable to attend. It is best not to invite him.
I will ask him for an estate nearby, but out of the city, closer to you. It will be healthier air for Nazira, and I can travel between her and my duties to the Sultan with ease. I would like to marry in a simple ceremony, as soon as possible.
That is my wish, too, Nazira glowed, outshining the sun.
Kumal laughed good-naturedly.
It appears you both know exactly what you want.
We do, Radu said. But only one of them was able to truly have it. 47. Exhaustion plagued Lada, dragging her limbs and mind down. Nikolai was occupied with scouring the Adirna Yanacheris for Velahian recruits to fold into their ranks. Stefan was training the few they had found. And so, with Petru and Matei both ill, Lada had taken a double night watch. Now, finally past dawn, all she could think of was bed. It had been strange standing inside Mahmed's room while he slept. He had pleaded for her to join him in his bed, teased and flirted. But she reminded him that she was all that stood between him and a knife in the dark. And that, if he did not shut up and go to sleep, the knife would belong to her. Still, there was something discomforting about the whole experience. It was like watching him during the coronation. He was there. He was Mahmed. But he was so separate from her. Unreachable. His face sleeping was the same as it had been during the ceremony. Alien. During the longest, loneliest hours of the night, it had been all Lada could do to keep herself from waking him just to see the way his eyes changed when he saw her, the way his lips formed around words and intentions. She liked who she was when he looked at her, craved it. But she had resisted, and now, with her own sleep so close, she found her door blocked by a woman.
Lada?
The woman's round face was sweetly pleasant, like a plum, with equally round lips. Her eyes were weak, too large and watery.
What?
It is me, Nazira.
Lada frowned, her mind sluggish. The woman did look familiar.
I introduced myself at Mahmed's wedding. I danced with Radu.
Everyone danced with Radu. The woman laughed. It came so easily to her, a reflex of a muscle Lada did not have.
Yes. That is true. Radu has not mentioned me.
Red flashed before Lada's eyes, all her muscles tensing. Was this some sort of test? A trick? Did someone know Radu's true heart and feelings for Mahmed? If Halil had discovered it, he would try to use it to his advantage. Lada would not betray her brother so easily.
Radu and I do not speak much. We are both very busy. Oh, I am sorry. You would know my brother, though.
Kumal?
Recognition slammed into place, jarring Lada completely awake. She had never paid much attention to the women who floated around the edges of the court, but she did remember Kumal. Kumal, the stealer of souls, the man who had driven Radu into the heart of the Muslim god.
I do know him.
Nazira must have missed the growl in Lada's voice, because she smiled in relief.
Well, apparently Radu has not spoken of it with you yet, but we are being married tomorrow.
You are what?
We have only recently decided, and we wanted to be married quickly without fuss. There is so much else going on, and Radu must be available for Mahmed.
Lada felt dizzy, as though she had dismounted from a day-long ride, and the earth still moved beneath her with the gait of a horse.
He is marrying you.
We are avoiding the more rigorous traditions, but I wanted to spend today at the baths with my cousins and aunt. And you, of course. You are his only family.
She mistook Lada's expression of confused horror for a questioning one about the baths.
It is a custom to spend the day before a wedding at the baths. Radu has reserved one of the palace baths for us, so we will not be disturbed. And I hoped, since we will be sisters, that you would join us.
Who was this woman? First, her brother delivered Radu's soul to a foreign god, and now, when Radu had the ear of the Sultan, she swooped in to marry him. Lada knew Radu did not love her. She suspected her brother incapable of loving anyone but Mahmed. Why, then, had he agreed to this marriage? Did they have some sort of hold on him? Some vicious blackmail? If Nazira was using Radu to get to Mahmed, Lada would need to have as much information as possible. She could work with subtlety like Radu. He was not the only one who could play that game. She gritted her teeth in an approximation of a smile. Give me a few moments to change. Lada followed Nazira through a walkway over which deep green vines arched, waxy and impervious to the chill of winter. She had never been to the baths, preferring to clean herself in private rather than spend time with other women. The exterior of the building was simple, almost austere. But once they were inside, a new world was revealed. Hand-painted tiles featured a repeating flower motif that grew along the walls and climbed across the ceiling in brilliant reds and yellows, accented by the deepest blues. High-set windows let in light, which cut through the steam curling in the air. Nazira greeted several women with delight, exchanging kisses. Everyone seemed overjoyed and surprised, remarking on the speed of the engagement and Nazira's good fortune in nabbing the handsomest man in Adirna. Lada wondered whether her own head or the tiles would break first if she began smashing her skull into them. Her smile felt like agony. An attendant led the women to an area that had been prepared for them, with mats for their clothes and long, soft swaths of cloth to wrap themselves in while disrobing. Lada lingered near the back, wondering how Radu did this sort of thing. Did she insert herself into conversations? Did she hope to be invisible and merely listen? The other women did not hesitate to slip out of their clothing, laughing and talking, perfectly at ease. They were neither ashamed of nor embarrassed by their bodies. When most of them had gone into the water, Lada threw off her clothes as quickly as possible, tucking the leather pouch she wore around her neck beneath them. Then she slid into the bath from the side rather than walk naked to the shallow steps. She stayed there, arms folded tightly across her breasts, hoping that someone would say something damning very quickly so she could leave. The water did feel nice on her exhausted, tight muscles, but she felt more than naked. She felt exposed and vulnerable. She longed for a weapon, for chainmail, for something between her skin and the rest of the world. Lada inched closer to the other women, her hair trailing behind her. But instead of speaking of Radu's favor in the capital and his connections to Mahmed, the women spoke of his eyes. They spoke of his smile. They spoke of his charm and his kindness. Each one had an anecdote, a story of something Radu had done for them, or for someone they knew. Some perfectly timed joke, some utterly captivating tale, some startling moment of generosity. A pang in her chest made Lada aware of a strange sense of loss, of missing Radu, because she did not know the man they were speaking of, and she thought she might want to. Maybe she was wrong. Maybe Radu did love Nazira. Maybe whatever he felt for Mahmed had been siphoned off and given to this sweet-faced nothing of a girl. Lada obviously did not know him as he was to this city. But no. The way Radu watched Mahmed, the way he could not escape the current left in Mahmed's wake, that had not altered. The rest of the world was an afterthought to Radu. Only Mahmed mattered. Lada had once mattered to him. How had she lost that? Nazira laughed and Lada remembered. Kumal had given her brother prayer and taken him away, and now Nazira was claiming him as well. She drifted closer to Nazira, who was partially blocked by two broad-shouldered aunts.
"We will tell you some secrets," one said, a lisp coming from where one of her front teeth was missing. "So Radu's handsome looks do not go to waste."
The other aunt gave a bawdy laugh.
"Looks will count for little if he is not a good learner."
"Hush," Nazira said, her skin flushed from the heat of the bath or from embarrassment. She put her hands over her face, shaking her head.
Oh, come now, you are to be a wife. You must know that husbands are useless in all things unless properly instructed, particularly in the pleasuring of their women.
Larda inched away, intensely uncomfortable. If they were going to speak of snakes and gardens, of a woman's responsibility to provide safe haven for a man's seed.
Please, aunties, you are scandalizing her, one of the married cousins said, though she laughed too, comfortable with the topic. Wait until after her wedding night, when she is no longer terrified. Then tell her how a woman can be pleased, as well as a man.
Bah! The lisping aunt said.
How long was it after your marriage until you came to me, crying, complaining of your unhappiness with his nightly ministrations?
The cousin laughed.
5 miserable years. 2 screaming infants I had given him and gotten not one evening of joy in return. You are right. I would not wish that on my poor Nazira.
Nazira splashed water at them.
No more. If I have questions, I will write you a delicately worded letter.
I have faith in Radu's generosity and abilities. Larda choked, and every head whipped around to face her.
Oh, Larda, I am sorry, Nazira exclaimed. We should remember Radu is your brother.
Spluttering something that resembled an excuse, Larda fled to her mat, her skin not even dry before she tugged her clothing on and gripped the pouch safely back around her neck. She would find out nothing she wanted to in the bath. But as she ran to her rooms, trousers clinging to her legs, she kept hearing the phrase that was more of a revelation than any political plotting. A woman can be pleased as well as a man.
He married her. Already, Mehmed stood, then sat back down, then stood again. But we spoke of it only 3 days ago. And he did not even want to marry her. He asked for a modest estate, but when I agreed, I did not think... married?
Things change, apparently. Larda had tried to corner Radu to talk to him before the wedding, but he had barricaded himself behind his big eyes and empty smile, simply saying over and over that Nazira would make a wonderful wife. She had been forced to watch as they were married in Turkish. Radu gave his life away in another tongue, sealed by another god. Nazira had blushed her way through the ceremony, a maid standing by her shoulder. And when it was over, the couple had barely touched, all the passion of 2 innocent children playing at marriage between them. Larda had been invited to a feast at Kumal's city house afterward, but she feared she would not be able to be civil. Not to that man. Not ever. Radu had just nodded and wished her well when she told him she was leaving. And now he was married.
It makes no sense, Mehmed said. What does Kumal Pasha have to gain by an alliance with Radu?
Larda scoffed.
Is it not obvious? Kumal is a Pasha now. Radu has your favor. Kumal wants to be closer to you. We will have to watch him.
Mehmed shook his head.
Kumal has no ties to Halil Pasha. In fact, I have already gone over all the taxes and accounts from Kumal's vilayet. He is beyond reproach. He and his men acquitted themselves with honor during the siege of Skanderberg. He already knows I value and trust him, and he is respectful without ever courting favor. This does not benefit him. But Nazira is his youngest sister. Perhaps he spoils her and let her pick her own match.
Larda did not want that to be true. She wanted there to be a darker purpose, a reason to hate them, a reason to punish them. But Radu was smart. If he were in trouble, he would have gone to Mehmed, if not Larda.
Maybe she really does love him.
Larda knew Radu did not love Nazira, but if it made him happy to focus on a person other than Mehmed, it could be a good thing for him as well.
Mehmed shook his head. Of course she would love him. Half the city is in love with him. Still, his acceptance makes no sense. He does not love her.
Larda watched him to see if there was more meaning, more understanding behind his words. But she could not tell. He stared at the wall, deep in thought.
And she cannot make him happy.
A bathhouse conversation tugged at Lada. What about Nazira?
Hmm? Mehmed finally focused on her, still distracted. What about her?
Why is it her duty to make him happy? What will Radu do to make her happy? He waved a hand dismissively.
Be her husband? Provide for her? Give her... children?
He puckered his lips as though the word was distasteful, as though he had not already done the same. And children are her reward for enduring him?
Enduring him? She is fortunate.
Tell me, Lada said, her thoughts of snakes and gardens and seeds and duties now muddied with steam swirled, improbable ideas of pleasure beyond kissing. What do you do to make your women happy?
Mahmed's mouth drew taut, his eyes narrowed shrewdly. My women? What are you speaking of?
Your harem. They exist to serve you. They give you sons, she spat the word out. What do you do for them?
I do not wish to speak of that with you. You know I have to.
This is not about what you have to do. Do you like them? Do you love them? Which of them do you love best?
I do not know. They are...
It is different.
It is like the man who carries my stool. I neither like nor dislike him.
He is there to serve a purpose. Why do you want to talk about this? Because I want to know if you have ever, even once, thought of what might bring them pleasure. Or is it entirely a transaction, part of the business of being sultan? Are they as stools to you?
His brows drew close together, his expression pained. Which answer do you want, Lada? Which would make it better?
She backed up. I do not know. He took a step forward, closing the distance between them, eyes on the floor and voice uncharacteristically tentative.
If you wanted to, I would do whatever you wanted, whatever you needed for us to be together. Anything.
With a sharp rap preceding him, Nikolai opened the door. Lada jumped guiltily away from Mahmed. Nikolai grinned, oblivious to the atmosphere in the room.
We are not due for a changing of the guard for another hour. When you will accompany me to the royal treasury, Mahmed snapped, sitting down.
Nikolai bowed deeply.
My anticipation is so strong it is physically painful to wait even that long. But I am not here for you, my father. Lada, I have a surprise for you. Come out. Bring it in here. Mahmed slouched on his chair, scowling.
Nikolai shrugged, but his scarred face was unable to conceal his glee as he stepped aside. A man walked into the room, broad-shouldered and barrel-chested, thick in his movements. He wore a Yanacheri uniform. Lada was about to shout at Nikolai that a new recruit was hardly worth the interruption, until she saw what the man's cap failed to cover. Two ears that stuck out like the handles on a jug. His grin felt like all of Wallachia reaching out to draw her home.
Lada, Bogdan said.
She ran forward and threw herself at him. He did not hesitate, wrapping his arms around her and spinning her in a circle. She buried her face in his neck, unable to believe it was real. Bogdan, her Bogdan, lost to her so long ago, alive. Here. Hers.
Who are you? Mahmed demanded.
Without putting Lada down, Bogdan answered in a voice deeper than the one she had known, but so very him that it made her feel like a child again.
I am her husband.
Lada laughed, smacking the back of his head. He lowered her, but she kept a hand on his shoulder. She had to make certain he was real, and he was not leaving.
I hardly think our marriage was binding.
She took his hands in hers, his fingers short and calloused. His face had broadened, his features fitting better now that he had grown into them. He was sturdy, strong, exactly how she would have imagined him had she had the heart to let herself.
Will you please explain? Mahmed asked. His face was as coldly and precisely arranged as a floor of tiles.
This is Bogdan, my oldest friend. His mother was my nurse, and we grew up tormenting her and Radu. He was lost to me so long ago. I thought him lost forever. Oh, Bogdan. She put a hand on his cheek, the stubble there shocking her and reminding her of all their missed time.
You have no idea how many Bogdans I had to try before finding the right one, Nikolai said.
Lara could not restrain her smile.
Thank you. He seems like he will make a good addition to our corps. Big enough to sit on Petru when he gets too annoying. Are you quite finished?
Mahmed raised an eyebrow. Lara's smile vanished.
What was wrong with him? Why could he not see how happy she was to be reunited with Bogdan?
She caught his eyes flickering to where her hand still rested on Bogdan's shoulder. She lifted her chin, not letting go.
Bogdan, this is Mahmed, the Sultan.
Bogdan bowed, as was appropriate, but there was something in his movements that made the bow look as though it were an afterthought, something he was going to do anyway, and Mahmed simply happened to be standing in front of it. Lada pulled his hand.
Come, let me show you. I want you to accompany me to the treasury, Mahmed said. What? There are some accounts I wish to have your thoughts on. But Nikolai was... Nikolai can show... Bogdan, was it? Where the barracks are. Go now.
No! They will stay. Bogdan stood impassive, his face betraying nothing. Nikolai's eyes widened in warning.
Lada, he mouthed.
She realized she was asking them to directly defy a command from Mahmed. Her Mahmed, yes, but their sultan. Their father. If they obeyed her, they could be killed for treason. She knew Mahmed would do no such thing. But at the same time, she could not ask Nikolai and Bogdan to defy him for her sake.
Go, she said through gritted teeth. I will meet you later.
She watched them leave, then walked 5 steps in front of Mahmed the whole way to the treasury. She was seething.
Lada, he said.
She did not turn back or answer. When they arrived at the treasury, Mahmed was detained by mounds of parchment, tallies and ledgers and contracts. She stood by the door, supposedly scanning for threats, but instead spending all her energy glaring at Mahmed's back. Finally, the clerks left.
What is this about? Lada asked.
What do you mean? Mahmed did not look up.
You dragged me here when you knew I did not want to come. I have not seen Bogdan in years. I thought him dead. And you decided my input on matters of the treasury mattered more?
Forgive me if I was taken aback to be introduced to your husband.
Lada splurted.
He is not... It was a game between children.
She looked down her nose at him.
Besides, you are certainly in no position to complain about that. How is Siti Hatun these days?
Mahmed burst from his chair, hands around her shoulders before she could move. She braced herself, but his face softened and his grip loosened, one hand coming up to cup her face.
I am sorry. I have not seen you that happy in... It surprised me, is all. I did not know how to react. I am glad you found your friend.
Lada nodded, still wary.
You should go. Speak with him. Catch up. Come to my rooms for supper tonight, afterward, and tell me about it.
He smiled, and she did not have time to see whether it was a genuine smile or a smile of the Sultan before he leaned forward, pressing his lips to hers. The soft insistence of his mouth trapped her, and she answered back with her own. They had not had time alone like this in all the days since they came to Edirne. Her hands and mouth informed her she was ravenous for him. He stepped back to the chair, pulling her with him as he sat down. Sitting on his lap, she wrapped her legs around him. She felt his neck's racing pulse as he drew her closer and closer. His hands danced along her body, moving to a new place as soon as she registered where they had just touched. They left a trail of fire in their wake, writing him onto her skin, Lada heard the knock at the door, as if through water, and it took several more knocks before she understood what it meant. She drew back, gasping. Mahmed smiled wickedly, straightening her tunic for her.
You should go.
I should go, she echoed.
I will see you tonight.
She floated on a red haze of lust, pondering what pleasure could be had if one's partner was willing. It lasted a single corridor before she remembered Bogdan. With a dark suspicion that Mahmed had been trying to make certain she thought of only him, she ran for the wing of the palace that housed her men. She raced from room to room. Their ranks had swelled thanks to Nikolai's diligence, and she was greeted with barely familiar faces until finally she found the room she wanted. Nikolai stood, talking easily as Bogdan put his things into a plain set of drawers. Lada froze in the doorway. After the first shock of their meeting, she did not know how to greet him. They were no longer children with the ease of a lifetime spent together. What had the last years done to him? What had they done to her? She was struck with a sudden horror of what the Lada who had first come here would think of the one who existed now. Bogdan regarded her without expression.
So, this is the life you have built for yourself.
Though his tone lacked judgment, Lada felt herself bristle. She did not have to apologize, not to Bogdan, and not to her old self.
Yes, I lead the finest troops in the whole empire. So I see. And you answer to the Sultan.
She folded her arms. I answer to myself.
Then why are you still here? Why not take what you can and leave?
He searched her face as though looking for something no longer there. It is not that simple. Nikolai's scar twisted around his wry smile.
We were going to, once, and then she changed her mind.
I did not change my mind. There were other considerations. And besides, if we had left, you would be here, and I would be gone. How would we have found one another again? Bogdan nodded, accepting the truth of that as easily as a dog thrown a bone.
So we go now.
Where?
To Valahia. I cannot go back there.
My father sold me, Bogdan. He brought me here, and he used my life to buy his throne. There is nothing for us there. I will never go back to my father. No matter how much she learned, how strong she was, how clever or brutal or loved, her father still dictated her life. Better a sultan than my father, she whispered.
Fathers do not live forever,
Bogdan said, shrugging. But he used the Turkish word for father, the word Yanicheris used to refer to the sultan. 48. Back in the city after his brief postnuptial leave, Radu passed the dough-faced youngest member of Lada's band of soldiers. Something about him nagged at Radu. His face was so soft-looking, his body so hulking. He did not match. Radu did not care for most of Lada's men, but he could not deny they were the best at protecting Mehmet. They each had a portion of that feral, ruthless determination that made up his sister's core. Sometimes Nikolai, or one of the friendlier ones, would greet him in Valahian. He always responded in Turkish. Mahmed sat listening to Ishak Pasha speak on the status of finances in the Amasya and Anatolia regions, where he would soon be sent as the Bela Bey, a local governor. Radu had told Mahmed they needed to separate Ishak Pasha and Halil Pasha, and Mahmed trusted his judgment. Radu wondered what had been decided in the few days he had been gone. He had been so anxious to return that Nazira and Fatima had teased him for constantly looking over his shoulder at the road to Adirna. Mahmed caught Radu's eye. Some trouble betrayed itself in the sudden tightening of his eyes, but it was gone as soon as it appeared, and he went back to nodding. On Mahmed's right was Halil Pasha. Grand Vizier Halil, Radu reminded himself. As soon as Ishak Pasha finished speaking, Mahmed stood.
Radu, back so soon? How could you bear to leave your lovely bride?